I don't know what we really thought we'd see out of the negotiations in Switzerland between the Chinese and the U.S., but what we certainly didn't think was we'd see any sort of an accord that would send the Dow Jones Industrials Average up 1,000 points. Richard Fisher is the former CEO of the Dallas Federal Reserve, senior advisor to Jefferies, contributing editor at CNBC. But for our purposes, also, Ambassador Fisher is the former deputy U.S. trade representative. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's good. Always good to be with you.
So what? Tell me what goes on in something like this. Well, first of all, are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. First of all, we'll have to see how the Chinese interpret it as well. We're beginning to see some messages coming from China that, you know, they outfoxed Trump. Who knows? The point is, we now have a responsible person handling trade issues in the Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent. We haven't heard a word from Navarro, who's not an orthodox, acceptable economist in the eyes of many. Mr. Lutnick, the Secretary of Commerce, seems to have been bypassed here. They were the two most excitable people whispering in Trump's ear, the president's ear. And I'm very happy to see that Scott Bessent, who's a talented, capable, mature man, person, is now in, handling trade. And he's doing a pretty good job. So this is a good start. You know, David, we'll have to see what all the particulars are as they come out and what the next steps are. Typically, agreements in principle take time to iron out the specifics. I did dozens of them when I was deputy USTR. And I'm impressed by how quickly they've moved here. The British one that was done, frankly, was a pretty much a nothing burger. There was not a whole lot there. First of all, we run a surplus with the UK. This is different in the case of China. This is serious in the case of China. So I like the fact that Scott Bessent here has his hands on the helm. The bluster of this president is what confuses markets. They make these big announcements. You don't know if they're going to follow through, what the compromise are going to be. It unsettles the markets, and especially unsettles business decision making. And what I'm waiting to see, David, I hope if this thing turns out to be what we think it may be, it's going to give businesses a chance to refocus on their CapEx, their investment, their hiring practices, and their pricing policies. Now, bear in mind, a 30% tariff is still pretty darn stiff. And if you look at the numbers here, it actually, combined with all the different things that have been seemingly carved out, we're talking about roughly a 14% tariff total. Vis-a-vis China's exports to the United States. So that's going to be priced into the market. Businesses will have to figure out what to do with it.
Well, and presumably if they can get some sort of fentanyl accord, the 20 would disappear and it'd be 10, which I guess is the...
Well, but still it'd be 14% given what we're doing on steel and all the other stuff. So that's what I meant. It comes down, if you get rid of the fentanyl stuff, it comes out at about 14.
It still comes
out
at 14%.
That's still going to have to be priced into the marketplace.
But, I mean, this is not a usual circumstance here where the tariffs went up universally, I mean, across the globe, all in one day, and at varying degrees. And then, so I guess conversely, they ought to be able to come down in one day if they can go up in one day. But this, have you ever seen anything like this or heard anything in history like this?
Well, every president has to negotiate this stuff, and they use different. When I was deputy USTR, I had to use the Section 300 and Section 200 special things to deal, particularly with steel and other products. But no, I've never seen this kind of chaotic approach. Hopefully, it succeeds, but it's been chaotic. It's upset businesses. It has not been good for decision making on CapEx, capital investment, or on pricing and hiring and so on. So I'm glad to see this settle down a little bit, and hooray for Scott Bessent.
So
he's
you,
my hero right now.
you're my global contact. Half the time I get in touch with you or try to get in touch with you, you're, you know, in the UK or you're in Europe or you're in the Far East or someplace. So you talk to these people all the time. What have you been hearing during this period about us?
That's a good question. So over a 2-month period, two different trips, I visited with, I think, 35 CEOs of foreign companies in the UK, Germany, Italy, and Spain. All of them feel that they need to hold back further investment in the United States until they get clarity. And David, this I started with Rolls-Royce, the C-suite there, the CEO, et cetera, all the way to Hapag-Lloyd, the big German shipping company, and everything in between. And they do not feel comfortable with the on-again, off-again nature of the way this is being announced and then implemented. Now, hopefully, they'll get more confident over time. The other thing that these are businessmen, these are not politicians, David. They feel that when we sent over our Secretary of the Defense initially and Vice President Vance, you don't make friends by insulting them. And if you want to deal collectively against China, these business leaders were telling me, look, you come over and insult us, and then you want us to be your allies. It doesn't work that way. So I think this, my reading is the Trump administration is getting a little bit more mature as we go through time. The tactics that they took initially don't work. They alienate. And yes, they have some good arguments, but the way it was projected and discussed did not make friends. So hopefully we're going to get better balance, move forward, and get better cooperation with our trading partners and others, and deal with collective problems like China and Russia and North Korea and Iran together rather than separately.
It seems like also we've seen some coalescing. I mean, we've already seen the effects in Canada. The Canadian election was probably skewed by some of this rhetoric, but
And the
also
Australian
in the
election,
Australian also,
and
and in
probably the
Europe,
German election.
and in Europe, it seems like you may well have brought this disparate EU together against a common foe, which unfortunately would seem to be us.
Yeah, they give a prize every year, the Charlemagne Prize in Europe, for the individual who's done the most to bring Europe together, the European Dream. The joke is they're going to give it to Donald Trump this year. So actually, one of the trustees of the prize told me that. He's a Italian. But yeah, they need to do a hell of a lot more. And they also have the biggest problem they have at home. Each country has their own regulatory structure, including the UK, by the way, it's not part of the European Union. And then in the continent, they have the overlay of the European Union bureaucracy.
Right.
And it's very difficult for them to make decisions. They want to be here, David, but they want to be here in a way that they feel safe and they're not going to be politicked against. And that still needs to be clarified. Hopefully, the administration will reach out better and make it clear your investment is welcome, it is safe, we want more of it. And we've been enjoying a
Yeah.
capital surplus. Probably mostly our lifetimes, David. So we want money to be here and continue to flow into here.
So what happens over the next 90 days? So we've got this hold on tariffs for 90 days. If I were a U.S. businessman, I think I would buy everything I could possibly think of that I would need for the, for Christmas and for the back to school session and everything else, and just load up on goods, and probably really skew the GDP, the numbers for the quarter.
Well, we've already seen that. We've seen people stockpiling, getting as much as they possibly can get in, warehousing it. And now we'll just see if that gets extended and should be a little push for GDP. Businesses, David, though, aren't hiring. And let's remember, the business trade on the stock exchange are not the job creators in America. It's small businesses run by women and men that build things from scratch. That's where 80% of the jobs are created in America. These are not listed companies. They
Right.
don't trade on exchanges. And it's the little guy, so to speak, that is the engine of our economy. Well, they don't have fancy lobbyists in Washington, D.C. They don't have the information flows that the big guys do. So it's going to take a while for them to feel a little bit more comfortable. And of course, we do see also the effect today, David, the Treasury's at 4.55, the 10-year Treasury.
Right.
Remember, it was getting down to almost below four. That key interest rate is what drives the lending policies of banks and also mortgages and so on. So the good news is we have a nice sharp rally here in the stock market. We'll see if it persists. The bad news is we're seeing higher interest rates, and that
Okay.
hurts small and medium-sized businesses as well as homeowners.
Okay, let me take you quickly back to your other hat. Let's say you're on the Fed board right now, and you've got this period where you've got tremendous activity. You're probably, like I say, probably people buying a lot of things. Still, those who didn't stockpile before, you're not going to get left at the altar again. You're going to stockpile. It doesn't seem like there's any way you could cut interest rates in the next 2 or 3 months, no matter what.
Well, David, think of the Fed as a business. Like every other business, in conditions of uncertainty, you don't know what you can decide. Just like these businesses haven't been able to decide what they're going to wait another 90 days now on China and see what else comes in with other countries in between, including with islands that only have penguins, as you know. So, no, seriously, I think they cannot make a decision if they can't model out the potential inflationary impact and employment impact. And I'm not a critic of the Fed here. I understand where they are. They're sort of stymied right now. Meanwhile, inflation was coming down to the 2% level. It's probably going to be a little bit higher now. They have to watch that. And we still have very low unemployment numbers thus far. So I understand why they're holding their position. We'll just have to see whether they need to hold it through the rest of the year or not,
It's always
part of the year.
something new, isn't it? That's the fascinating thing. It's fun to live in challenging times, I think. Richard Fisher, our guest today. Ambassador, it's good to spend some time with you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, David. Good to see you.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.